WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Coming up from the archives, interviews with the two stars of the film comedy Mr. Wrong, which opens next weekend. Ellen DeGeneres plays a TV talent coordinator who's in her 30s, single, and under pressure to find a mate. Enter Whitman Crawford, played by Bill Pullman. He's handsome, rich, and smart, and he is literally too good to be true. But by the time she realizes that he's Mr. Wrong, he's too obsessed to give her up. In this scene, she tries to break off the romance.
Whitman, you're an incredible person. I mean, you're really something else, you know? And I've really... mostly enjoyed the time that we've spent together. But sometimes it's about chemistry, you know? And sometimes chemistry works and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you get an explosion or a really bad smell. You know what I mean? It's not good. Okay, you know how, you feel about Inga? You know how she still loves you, but you don't love her? How you used to love her, but you don't love her anymore? How? Okay, look, here's good. This is good. I am salt, and you are pepper. All right? Okay? Now, salt and pepper goes together, right? Sometimes. You know, but some, it doesn't have to. You don't have to have pepper with salt. Sometimes salt goes alone. Sometimes salt goes with other herbs, even. And I'm saying that I want to see other herbs.
Ellen DeGeneres is best known as the star of the sitcom Ellen. She plays a bookstore owner named Ellen who's in her 30s, single, with the requisite number of neurotic and annoying friends. Like so many hit sitcoms, Ellen is built around an actor who started off as a stand-up comic. And like several comics turned actors, she has a best-selling book. I spoke with her when it was published last September, and she told me how she started her career as a stand-up comic.
The first time was in New Orleans, and it was probably 81, something like 1981, in New Orleans for a benefit, some people trying to raise some money for some legal function. I don't know what it was, and they didn't have any access to talent or anything, and they just were just putting stuff on stage. Someone had a band, and someone else probably made balloon animals. I don't even remember at this point. And they asked me to get up on stage because I had always been funny around them. And they thought, well, just get up on stage and be funny. And at this time, I guess Steve Martin was doing comedy. And, you know, there was comedy, but it wasn't nearly like it was in the last 10 years. And I didn't know what to do. I got on stage and I ate, this is when I was eating red meat. I ate a Whopper, fries and a shake, and I basically said that I didn't have time to eat all day because I was so nervous because this was my first time on stage. So if you don't mind, I just need to eat really quickly. And I tried to get a sentence out. You know how people start when you're like having lunch with them and they start to tell you something and then they take a huge bite and then they hold their finger up like you just 1 second while they swallow, and it's like, why did you even start the sentence if you're going to take a bite? And then they start the sentence again, and then they take a sip, or they take another. And so I did that on stage for as long as it took me to eat a Whopper, fries, and a shake, and I didn't say anything the whole time. And then I looked at my watch and said, my time's up, thank you, good night. And that was what I did on stage the first time.
How'd it go over?
It was, I don't remember. I mean, I just
kind of... You're too busy eating.
I ate the whole time. I don't know. It was good enough that someone who booked a college in New Orleans saw me and asked if I would go on stage and do something there. And I decided I should stop eating because this really would not be a good career to eat on stage all the time. And unless you're like just performing once a month. So I started writing material and... I'm sure some of it was really, really bad, but at the time it was, you know, just like bell bottoms were popular at one time. Maybe the material will come back again. Bell bottoms have. So, I just kept writing material, and it just kind of fell into my lap.
What was the circuit that you played early on?
Clubs or restaurants sometimes. You know, comedy got to be, it replaced the mechanical bull. So, you know, it was like whatever was going to make somebody money, they put it in wherever you could fit it. I mean, I really thought that at some point Macy's was going to have like a little section where you could just go watch comedy before you buy shoes. Wherever you can make money, people will do it. So here are these guys that have no idea what comedy is, what art is. You know, they have a pizza parlor and they decide, you know, yeah, we'll get a couple of comedians in here and we'll fill the place on Tuesday night. And usually it's not filled on Tuesday night. So, you know, and maybe cheese pizza will be, you know, $2. And so I was playing some horrible... I played places that, now I talk about my book, that I actually showed up. We drove from, it was like some guy, I didn't even know who he was. We were just kind of assigned to work together. And we drove to this place, and in front of the restaurant, there's like a chalkboard on the sidewalk, and it says, soup of the day, whatever it was, you know, cream of asparagus, and Ellen DeGeneres. That was, and like, so soup of the day had top billing. I mean, I didn't even rank above the soup. And so people had to really want that soup in order to come in, and then if they wanted to see me, they got to see me as well. And it was like this long, narrow, you know, not, I think the stage was maybe like a couple of cases of beer with a piece of plywood on top. And I had, you know, some kind of horrible microphone that kept feeding back the whole, ooh, every other word you couldn't hear. It was horrible.
Now, who taught you the facts of life?
Nobody. That's why I try in my book to teach you how to explain sex to your child, because nobody taught me. And as you read in my book, I still don't know how to teach anybody. It's just sort of a kind of spirals out of control. But nobody did. I think I remember hearing girls talk about it in a bathroom. And it was kind of late. I was a late bloomer for everything. I was in seventh grade when I heard about it for the first time, what happens.
How'd you hear about it?
In the bathroom. I heard girls, you know, talking about it. And
did you believe it?
Well, I asked my mother how long it has to stay in. She was shocked by that question. I mean, it was, to me, it the way it was described, it sounded like, you know, going to a gas station and putting the pump into the gas tank, and just leave it there until the tank is full, and then you remove it and you pay the cashier. That's exactly what I pictured. I really just thought, well, wow, that's a shame that has to happen. And so no one really, I mean, I remember asking my mother that question, like, how long does it have to stay in? And I think she said, not very long. And then that was it. That was our whole discussion of the mother-daughter talk.
Ellen DeGeneres stars in Mr. Wrong, which opens next weekend. This is Fresh Air.